Mr. Butch Thompson, ladies
and gentlemen.
Butch. Thanks, Butch. That's like a dream come true. That's great. Well, do you have anything to say about the store box?
Oh, I always got something to say.
Yeah.
Except when I need it. Yeah, well, as I mentioned, we mentioned in the before intermission and also in the news here, our good friends Kirsten and Stormy Storbach lost their house in a bad fire. Of course, you lost your house. Of course, it's a bad fire. And, about a year ago, in fact, Redbook just ran that story just this month. So it might seem like recent news to some of you, but it's a year old now. And the Storbachs are back in there. They rebuilt and. They just moved back in. What we're going to find out is how that's going. Have a little party up at their place. We'll see who shows up. Welcome back to the end of the road. Well, we mentioned that Kirsten and Stormy are back in their house, are back in a house. They had a little party up at their place last weekend. Well, Kirsten stood in the kitchen doorway holding a fresh tray of cocktail weenies and took a moment to admire her circumstances. It was only a year ago she'd stood not 100 feet from here and watched her house of dreams collapse into flames and burned labor. The home she and Stormy had invested 10 years of their lives in had burned to the ground within weeks of finishing it. They'd lost everything, people kept saying. But as Kirsten looked out over her new house, loading up with old friends, she could see they hadn't lost a thing worth mentioning. In fact, they were far richer now than they ever had been in more ways than could be figured. They'd spent the past year living in the charitably empty half of the Flanagan's duplex, surrounded by other people's things. Seemed like everybody in town had given them something. Only days after the fire, they'd been substantially endowed with clothes and bedding, pots and plates, soap, curtains, and places to sit. It was all secondhand stuff with little rhyme or reason and no sense of fashion, but it was something. Even though for a whole year their home looked like a garage sale waiting to happen, it had gotten them through, and now here they were 1 year later in a fine new house filling up with fine new things. And none of it could have happened without the generosity of the people coming through the front door at that moment. They'd all helped to build this house, and their faces kicked up a proud hitch as they passed through the door and looked around at what they'd helped to do. Kirsten watched Stormy greeting the odd stream of people making their way into the living room, bearing more gifts, and she went literally flush with wealth, health, and the love of good friends. She caught a new grip on her weenie platter and waltzed toward her guests with that lightness of foot that can only come from true and total delight. There were only a handful of things on this earth that could have discouraged the prevailing spirit of goodness that settled on our little gathering up at the store box. One of those was being lugged along Flatback Ridge Road on the stoop shoulder of our dull-witted desperado, Doug McDougan. Doug hadn't intended bringing anything at all to the party. It wasn't that he was selfish or insensitive, although he was. It was mostly that he rarely thought a foot ahead of his own boots, and he wouldn't have thought of this present either if he hadn't tripped over it while rummaging around the dump on the way up. What it was, basically, was the ugliest lamp ever devised by the minds of man or demon. Innocent raw materials that could have been easily crafted into any number of tasteful accessories for the home had gone crazy. They'd taken the form of a creation so foul that not even Doug McDougan entertained a moment's thought of keeping it for himself. It was a peace with less than no charm. It was a peace that took any charm in its presence and turned it into tack board and poster paint. It was a nightmare with a plug on it. It called to mind leopard skin vinyl bar stools, Muammar Gaddafi, menthol cigarettes, long bus rides to Detroit, pimples, bad chicken dinners, and noisy little dogs in parked cars, all at a glance. It was big, but not big in a grand way. It was big to excess, like vintage cars from the 50s with crummy paint jobs. The base was cast of some metal with the complexion of storm drains. Formed into it were glossy black figurines that seemed to climb up the stem like a biblical plague. They ascended into a pool of weak light emanating from a milk glass globe. Crowning it all was a nearly opaque green crushed velvet shade with royal red brocade and powder puff dangle balls. It was a piece that begged to be given away. A quality that would prove to supply a valuable lesson in the fine art of giving to Kirsten Storbach and her generous gathering of good friends on the ridge. "Oh, Emily, these are just darling." Kirsten sat on the couch between Sissy Tuttle and Emily Flanagan, holding up matching sunflower print flannel bed linens. "These will go so nice with Sissy's afghan." Sissy blushed and grinned while Kirsten reached into the stack of housewarming gifts for another treasure. Tamara Dupree and her man Tony were off to one side, enthusiastically explaining the workings of a solar-activated kitchen composter to a grateful but perplexed Stormy. Argus Winslow and Bud Koenig had both brought fire extinguishers to give, and were arguing over the individual merits of each. As the rest of the group mingled and grazed on weenies and bean dip, looking the place over and generally doing a pretty good job of warming a house. Well, the doorbell was a welcome sound to Stormy, who'd been groping for an excuse to tear himself away from Tamara and Tony's interesting but long-winded discussion of environmental responsibility. "Garbage could become the world's single biggest energy source in the next century. Garbage, Stormy. Plain old everyday garbage." "Hold that thought," Stormy said, and went to let Doug in. When the lamp appeared in the entryway, a chill swept through the front room of the house. Sentences were bit off. Bean dip oozed off Doritos, frozen halfway from dish to lips. Even the dog stopped licking crumbs from the linoleum and raised his hair up. Well, Doug was used to this kind of treatment. Thought little of it as he thrust the lamp into Stormy's horrified hands and closed the door behind him. Doug turned into the room, letting his body hang on his spine in that curious way of his, while Sissy Tuttle broke the silence with the two words that were about to leap from the throats of everybody in the room. Let's find out what those two words are, but first let's hear a few words from our sponsors. Stay with us, please. Stormy's theme. Thank you.
They're being polite. What was so funny?
Oh, Gary was screwing around again.
He's getting back at me for... yeah.
Okay. Want to do the rest of this?
Well, yeah, but Dave's on the phone.
Oh, okay.
We've got to finish up the call.
Well, one thing I wanted to mention, every time I come up with one of these characters or family characters, Johnny B. sits down and writes a theme song to them. Kind of sit around. He says, well, what are they like? And I say, oh, you know, Doug, he's kind of a dummy and lies all the time, has no taste. And then Johnny comes up with something like, what do you come up with?
For dummies?
Doug. Dummies like Doug.
Here's a dummy.
Doug kind of
that's
blues.
A dummy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what's what we do for a living.
Yeah. Everything okay at home, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If we gave him more to do, maybe he wouldn't. Sorry, then we'd have to feed him more, he said.
All right, let's find out what they said, huh?
Yeah. Well, how do we get back into this? Okay.
Got it?
Yes.
Okay.
Keep your hands off my lamp.
So fitting with the story and all. Don't look at me, look at him.
Oh, right. Oh, look at them. They're minding themselves.